next half hour.
Hello and welcome to this very special bonus episode of the Gerry Anderson podcast. You may remember our special guest just last week was Jeff Smart. Jeff was a content producer who produced lots of your favourite commentaries for various DVD releases from the Andiverse, particularly in the US. But he also had a hand in producing Nosy Parker.
Nosy Parker is go!
A special short film featuring everyone's favourite butler and chauffeur, Nosy Parker himself. Now, Jeff has very kindly agreed to let us show his special behind-the-scenes footage from the original shoot in 1988, and then also a special feature that he's compiled, detailing the restoration of the old footage ready for its brand new sparkling release as part of the Thunderbird's 60th anniversary Blu-ray box set. So thank you, Jeff. Take it away.
Now, what we're about to see here are the raw recordings. These are the video assist recordings that we did in the studio so I could have instant playback on what we filmed. You'll hear various different...
Take two, slate it.
There you go, so we're doing a slate here.
Very quick onion frames.
You'll notice everything's back to front because to do this I had a mirror set up.
Read out seconds to me as we're going through this, if you could lift it. 1 second, two, three. Okay? Okay. Turn over.
One.
Two.
So you can hear the sound of the camera turning over there, and Liz Mundell reading the time so I can work out the timing for when he has to sort of wake up and lift his head up.
13, 14, 15, 16.
We had to learn a lot of this stuff.
Sort
of on the way,
You run that back
because there was no rule book to how you make a Thunderbirds production. So we sort of had to come up with various ways to solve problems.
After this, if we don't get this time, we'll go for a vote.
It's quite bizarre when you think back to 1988 when this was filmed. It was just sort of, you know, working out the most practical approach to getting the puppet so that I could get, you know, cutting points between different shots.
Sound.
And
take two,
could get eye lines right. And could have a playback thing.
Four, three.
Oh, there he goes. You can hear a little tappy noise on the mouth solenoid, the electromagnet. So this is the playback of the actual voice recording. And I have a lady called Linda Hunter, who's actually on a little Morse code tapper. Tapping along to the beat of the dialogue. And I've got Steve McCready on video, and he can give me a playback on each of these shots. So basically just went through rollover, turnover, camera, speed, film it, time it out, stop, go back, look at the footage on video, see if the eye line was about right, see if the cutting points were about right, and that's how we went about it. It was a very complex thing to do, and I'm really quite surprised that we managed to make everything work the way we did, because some of the things that we did try were literally things that we just tried on the day to see if it was work. So, again, you know, we managed to sort of come up with the same solutions the original Thunderbirds team came up with, only we had to do it with a minuscule amount of people helping out. And this is quite a nice little scene. We obviously see this from a different angle on the screen. I was thinking about using this angle so you could see the screen at your tip. But the problem is, it means also it reveals whoever's operating the little spinny door. And therefore I thought better of it in the edit and use the other angle, which cut better with the close-up of Nosy's face as well. There's a couple of voices I recognise in the background here. A very deep booming voice is Steve McCready.
Okay.
And there's another voice.
Ready? Sound.
I think Andrew Rossi was playing back the sound, if I remember. Andrew was quite an experienced film editor at this stage. And he was going to edit Nosy, and then unfortunately he got busy with work and couldn't do it, and I stepped in and I had to learn very short notice how to edit.
Stop.
Okay.
It paused just a little bit in your half turn.
That was Steve. Pause a little bit in the half turn. He's still a mate of mine to this day.
He's still.
Turn over.
Oh, you lady.
Look the right ear.
Steve as well.
Okay, let's just have this angle. It really doesn't do anything. Okay, you're looking down on the slower thing.
I'll just keep it open anyway.
Don't bother the slate, that's going to take too long.
It's done.
It's already done.
Oh, it's done, is it? Oh, very good. Thank
you.
So here we go, trying to shoot this slidey shot. Over. And these are quite difficult because you have to move the pup along and you can see things get caught up. not ideal. And this was quite a tricky one because we had to slide the puppet down onto this little rig and then spin it round. It was quite a tricky thing. And you sort of, this was the first film I made and I'm trying to invent things on the way with the added complication that things are, all puppet sized. And how do you do all this?
That looks good. Okay, we'll move. Good.
I mean, it was very frustrating sometimes to try and work out how they did things. I remember one day saying to Jerry Anderson when I met him, how did you ever get, 32 one-hour episodes? And he said, I had lots of people working for me, Jeff. I had lots of people working for me. I thought, yeah, okay.
What happened there? Turn over.
And that's either Sam or Louise. I can't tell from this angle. I think it's Sam. Marriott, who's helping things out there.
I'm probably leaving at the bottom.
I think it's Sam. I can't tell. They're twin sisters, and even though they're not absolutely look alike, from certain angles you can't really tell them apart.
That's it.
I think it was Sam.
Beautiful. That's the shot.
Everything happened.
That was a good take. That was Nick Heligos on camera. And that's the mirror in front, you can see. This is the cheap way we did our Adavision so I could get the eye lines and get a playback. And when you operate a puppet, it's very difficult when you've got a video camera because normally you need a reverse scan monitor. So that when you turn the head, that's Louise there, I think. Louise Merritt. And there's Linda Hunter in the background there.
Oh, right.
She would have a very big job of trying to keep, to the beat of the sound. So she had to be very careful, isn't it? She was Australia's leading ventriloquist at the time, so she was perfect for doing lip sync things.
Turn over.
Four, three. Oh, go! With the air brake.
No film.
That's Nick shouting out, run out of film. He ran out of film halfway through it.
Stop.
And this is obviously the last scene I filmed, and I remember being choked, on the smoke coming from that little burner sparker thing. I was above it, and I'm trying to hold back the coughs and stuff.
Down the pipe, lovely sparkler. Puppet coming in, cue sound.
Five, and that was Nick calling out where the camera position was, so I can get my cue for when the words are, and that also meant that had to be queued up for Linda to do the voiceover quicks as well. Very tricky. And there we are. End of Nosy Parker's Go.
Now, this is the box where I've stored for many years the various components for Nosy Parker's Go. That there is the release print, which is projectable. Here, that's some trims inside there. There's an answer print there. But the main issue I wanted to get hold of when I was remastering this was the MagMaster. And as you can see, there it is there. Now, just before I do open this is the master, which then is transferred to an optical soundtrack on the film track itself, which is a little squiggly line. But this is the master mixdown of the approximately, I think it was 7 or 8 music effects and dialogue tracks. So 37 years later, I'm about to open it. Now, that's the magnetic track, and as you can see, unfortunately, there's a lot of this dust inside. In fact, a hell of a lot of dust. You can see it all there. And that, unfortunately, if you look at the track, you can see that this is very thin on the outside because all the magnetic oxide particles have come off. And it smells also of vinegar, and anybody who knows about film will know that that mag track is basically useless. This is like the surface of Mars here, look. Look at that, and it's just full of this dust, unfortunately. The sound quality for an optical track is nowhere near the quality that this would have been. So, I'm in a weeny bit of trouble there, and it leads me to a couple of options that I'm going to have to look at. So here I am on a bright sunny morning in Hammersmith, and I'm here at the studios of Silver Salt Productions, which is just here. And I've got my trusty bag full of all my rushes and answer prints and negs in the bag, and we're about to get it transferred to HD or 2K or whatever. So these are all what? 20. Negs and film cans and
film. Yeah, so these are all the film cans that come in from our clients.
There you go.
It's temporary storage in here, but it's climate controlled. We keep an eye on humidity and everything else. But we don't really have the films in here for much more than a couple of months, say, while we're working on them.
I see you got some 35mm cans as well, 16.
Yeah, 16 nitrate vault there as well.
Oh, really? Oh, in there?
Yeah.
Is that how you keep it?
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Again, it's only temporary storage.
Right, great. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to you doing your magic on my film.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to it.
So we've got the sound neg there.
Yes.
We've got the two AB rolls there.
Yep.
Which I will split after the event. And we've got the answer print and release prints there. So that's all we're gonna get transferred today. And some mysterious other reels, which I don't know what they are, which say something about being
the mystery
track
reels.
To 1 to 8 or something. I don't know what they are. It's very, very strange. Right, well, thank you for that. Good luck.
You're welcome.
This is a selection of the drives and boxes I've got here full of tapes. And I've had to go through all of these individually to try and find, so if we look in here, tapes of various different things as in focus. This is the interview I did with David Graham back in the early 2000s. And I'm really hoping that the audio redos that he did for Nosy Parker's Go are on this tape. Literally, I've been looking everywhere for where this material might be, and I'm down to this literally last tape, so I'm hoping this is on here. It wasn't on that tape, so I've found one more tape here, which basically says David Graham in voice booth. I'm really hoping this is the one. So after spending about a week trying to find a tape from these kind of boxes full of tapes here, I'm glad to say that luckily enough, we have David Graham's Nosy recording.
Blooming trees, they're supposed to move out of the way.
So that's a great relief to me, because without that, I don't have a remastered version of my film.
Oh my God, my stomach!
So I now have a recording here, but...
Oh God, who's this then?
You can hear lot of noise.
Who's this then?
Turn that on just a bit quicker.
Oh God, who's this then?
You can hear a lot of static behind, so I'm going to apply a noise reduction filter to this
good
now.
Who's this then?
So I've just converted the file to an audio file, and I've now put a filter on it for noise reduction. So let's hear what it sounds like.
Okay, here's a few goes at
it. Oh, blimey! It's going round and round! Oh, my God! So oh, my God! Stop! It's going round and round.
Oh,
So basically, that's a lot better now. I've cleared up. So in between the words, so for instance here, you get a much, if I go to say here, you'll get a much clearer.
Oh, dearie, dearie me.
And that's nice and quiet straight afterwards. We had hiss on it. So we now have a clean audio track of David Graham, if I can get it in focus, a clear audio track of David Graham doing the revoice for Nosy Parker. So next stage is to pick which takes and to see how best they match to an existing mouth movement. That's the problem with this. And what we did, these little bits of noise here are either playbacks of the original film or me mentioning to David the delivery. Because the problem is that in Thunderbirds, the voices were done and then the mouth movements were done. Well, in Nosy Parker's Go, obviously I did the audio recording first and then I did the mouth movements. But by adding a different person's voice into it, the legitimate voice of David Graham, means that I have to make sure that David Graham's words now fit the mouth movements on the puppet that were saying the words that I originally voiced, if you get my meaning. It's a bit complicated, but I think we're on our way. Anyway, there it is.
Wait a minute. Isn't that Bruno from the hotel in Monte Bianco?
Wait a minute. Isn't that Bruno from the Hotel Monte Blanco?
Here we are in our edit program, and this here is Parker's revoice by David Graham.
Wait a minute, isn't that Bruno from the Hotel Monte?
So what I then do is I transpose these clips down here to try and match the waveforms of my original voice. And I'm just doing this piece here. So if we look at this, just get that lined up. So you'll hear two voices, the original and Parker's David Graham voice.
Sounds like you need a new cook to me.
So you can see there that it's not exact, but it's sort of close enough. And I can sort of fudge a few things around here and get the thing moving a little bit more. So hopefully...
Sounds like you need a new cook to me.
So my read was a little bit quicker originally, but I can speed that up and I can do various things to it. And trying to make this fit, what I'm going to do is I'm going to adjust the speed of this. So I go down here, change the speed. I'm going to go to about 100 and maybe 105 up here to try and speed it up a little bit. So that's going into there. That's now sped up a little bit. So hopefully this time it'll go through, it'll just look a little bit more, look more like the lip sync that we originally had.
Sounds like you need a new cook to me.
So there we are. That's how we're matching up the old audio and reintegrating the new audio. Right, so I've now got the new scan on my timeline here. And the original SD master from 2013 on the channel below. So what I'm going to do is show you how this all syncs up. So I'm going to scroll this through because it hasn't been rendered yet. You'll see that this has white and then it'll appear with like the titles. And if you look at the background, hopefully that will match. So the next shot will be the explosion, this shot here. Can't play it through, but you get to see that that's all synced up. So we can see that shot's synced up to that shot. There's the in-between shot, and then it will cut to that shot. So we can see that all the cuts are matching at the moment, which gives me a great deal of confidence that hopefully this might work. And there's that little insert shot there of the phone. The reason it's going white is because that's every second shot. And that's being covered up at the moment. If I nuke that temporarily and hide that, we see that, you watch what happens. So I've got that, which is there, and then that, which hopefully will match.
Now, obviously, the high definition version is scaled down at the moment because I haven't set it to the right size. But basically, as we go to back to the wide shot, there it is, and all the cuts seem to match up. So that's good. That's a good start. So now I'm going to do a checkable cut, where I'm going to cut every second shot back into the first shot and line everything up so I don't end up with these white bits like this and these bits, white sections in between the shots. So I'm just about to do that. So as I get further into the edit, we see these sort of white sections that come up. These are actually the bits I have to cut out, and every other shot the bits I have to keep in. So it's quite confusing, but it seems to be working itself out. And here I am in Photoshop, and I'm just creating this as a guide. This shows the various sizes of the different frames. That's SD, and then the yellow is 4x3, which is how Nosy was originally shot. The little red areas are the areas of HD, and the green area is the scan size, and the white area is the full 2K. So this has been scanned at 2K to fit within an HD screen. So what I'm doing now, I'm in After Effects, and I'm actually looking at the grain on these shots. So for instance, as we move through here, I'm examining the grain on this shot, and then on this shot here, and then basically just looking, you can see here there's quite a bit of grain in this shot, which I'm going to have to look at, and there's also quite a bit of grain in these end shots too. So I'm trying to work out how to remove the grain. I'm also trying to match up to other shots. So I've got some new opening shots I'm hoping to shoot, like this. And as you can see, they're way sharper and they've got no real grain on them. So I'm trying to work out a way to degrain them or add grain in and degrain the other shots, and hopefully somewhere meet in the middle. We'll see. So you can see here I'm doing some tests just to see if I can match this grain. So this Thunderbird 3 shot is just a test from on video, and I'm trying to grain it up so it looks more like this. So if I run it through, hopefully it might look a little bit more grainy. And so I'm going to try and do two things here. I'm going to actually try and add grain into the new shots like this, but also I'm going to try and remove it out using some AI techniques to get the grain a bit better. You can actually see the difference there between when it doesn't have any grain added in. I've also blurred out the picture slightly. So outside of this box, you can see there is no grain, but inside you can see that there is. So hopefully we'll get this better matched. And we can see that some shots are incredibly grainy, like this one here. Probably shot a little bit underexposed, and this one as well where the wind comes over, so I'm going to grade that back. Now there's things I can do there. For instance, on the histogram, I can bring some brightness back in and so on, but fact is, it's going to take a fair bit to make that shot look good. Yep. And we can see here where we have all this noise, and this is just a test, so wipe the noise away. So that's what we now have. So, it looks like I can improve this considerably from what it was. I've just discovered that if I upscale this to 4K, it allows me to keep the sharpness of everything, but it gets rid of the grain as well. So I think that's where we're going to go with that.
You can see here the difference that this makes. If I drag this through here, the detail that we get back out of that is quite impressive. That's how it was, and that's how it is. So you can see even in these little windows. What was that? Now becomes that. So that's a huge improvement. So all this noise gets removed, and yet we get a lot more detail back within the AI. Remarkable. You can really appreciate the benefits of using AI technology here. If we have a look at the grain here and the noise, and have a look at this when we wipe this across, and how much nicer everything looks, how much cleaner. I'll take that back again. That's all the noise in there. This was shot quite low light because it's supposed to be a night shot, and the grain has really come up there. But there it goes. It's now removed. And here I am working on the color grade. So this is one of the pictures, one of my favorite pictures, one of my favorite shots from the show. So what I've done is I've added a grade and some selective grades in here, and watch this. So that's what the show, that's what the picture now looks like in the show. That's what it was. So it's been graded basic to get the contrast right, but then I've corrected the color and you end up with that. So the whole idea is, as you go through each of these shots, you try and match the color as best you can from shot to shot. So we're going from this shot to that shot. That's got a little bit of pinkiness in it, so I've got to just remove that now. You'll notice also there's a little bit of overscan, so you get a little bit more picture in that. And if I go quite close up, you see the edges there. There's quite a bit more detail. It's a much better picture. It's grainier, but you'd sort of expect that. So hopefully I'll be able to adjust the aspect ratio accordingly. This is the original SD standard video transfer. And if I go between the new transfer, you'll see there's quite a bit of difference in color. And also you'll notice the lettering is a slightly different distorted shape. So I'm going to have to look at which is correct. Now that's the detail in that one. And that's the detail in that. You can see a lot more grain. But I'm about to grade that out. But yeah, I'm a little bit amused about why that's a different shape there. Because it seems like that's been sort of added in afterwards. Maybe I did some video titles later on to help it along. But yeah, so there you go. So that's going to now be graded so that the detail in here will be increased. As you can see, this is a section of Thunder One launch bay. It's actually a little model kit, tiny little model kit, so it's actually quite small. But I'm going to combine this with a larger, I'm going to create a background and use a larger Thunderbird 1 model. In the opening sequence, originally I used photographs, and I've always wanted to give some dimension to those opening 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 shots. So hopefully this will allow me to do that. So I'm doing some a little bit of kit bashing on there, but it's basically a kit. So hopefully it'll work. So I just did the opening launch sequence. I've used a technique where we put a video background up here, this time from a Mac monitor. I've got the camera over there and basically a smoke machine that feeds into a little chamber here. And in this chamber, I've got a little
LED light thing that I've made so that it sort of gives you that flame effect at the bottom. See, there it is there. So that sort of helps to light it all up.
Oh, switch on lights, switch on smoke. Okay, I'm using After Effects here, and what I've done is I've created a sort of background which incorporates a couple of bits of artwork that overlap, so you get the seamless look to it. And the trick with this one, to make it funny, this is for the opening where you see Thunderbird 3, is that the clouds are actually going backwards. I thought that might be quite funny. So this is for the opening, and it's one of the sequences that I'm redoing for this special edition. My, my, how things have changed over the years. I'm using a big TV here to play back the background. Couldn't have done this originally in the day when Nosy was made, so I'm updating this all now. Great. I'm here just redoing the opening title cards. This is where the boys are introduced with the craft behind. Because what I found is there was some flickering going on, so I'm going to put it through a de-flicker filter. I used to use a Bolex camera, wind-up Bolex, so this was all single frame, and each frame had slightly different exposure. So I'm just about to fix that. I'm about to put that in After Effects, de-flicker it, and put it back into the edit. And I've just redone all the end titles as well. This is a behind the scenes photo of me and Charles Tingler recording the voices, because I originally did the voice of Parker and he did, of course, Bruno. But the problem is, when I wanted to use this credit in the end credits, this picture, the problem was this was a little bit soft. So I put it through this special software. You can see how sharp that is. But have a look at this. It's quite remarkable. Suddenly you can see it's me. So a lot of these shots are going through AI sharpening software and to make it look better and to bring the thing more up to date. This just goes to show the trouble I've had to go through for this film. Here's a rubber glove, but it's way too pink and it doesn't match the hand. So what I've had to do is fill it with water, hang it up so it's slightly got the shape that it's needed to be. And then what I'm going to do is paint it with a mixture of a sort of flexible glue and a pigment. And hopefully that will help keep it shape and it'll be about the right colour. Hopefully. Just making this close-up shot, which I've done a graphic for, and I was looking for a green little light thing to sit here. And some things make the most useful products, do they not? There you go. I've got my little light thing, so I let you put that in there, put that over the top of it. I'm going to light it up. How about that? Well, I just finished the last shot of Nosy Parker's Go on the new revamp shot, so... just shot this here with the little green light turning up and the dial moving. And that's the lot. It's done. One of the problems I had with Nosy Parker's Go is obviously I recorded the voice with David Graham about 15 years ago. And there were a couple of new lines I wanted to add into Nosy Parker's Go, lines that better suited the action. So I'm using an AI program here, text-to-speech, and it sampled the recording I had of David Graham, and I've put in the new words, and here you can hear it.
This isn't the manual, it's an annual. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't the manual, it's an annual.
And there's a few other intonations on here.
Oh, wait a minute. This isn't the manual. It's an annual.
There's a few that don't quite make the grade. And these...
Oh, wait a minute. This isn't the manual. It's an annual. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't the manual. It's an annual.
So you can see there's different iterations there. And what I've done is just mixed down the best ones, recorded them in, and then I can drop them into the show itself. So I've done this with two bits of dialogue, which hopefully will not be noticed that it's any different from the original recorded tracks. Hopefully. That's the idea. Hope you like the joke. Now, I had a little bit of a problem with the denoising and the upscaling using AI in that I realised I should have done the grain removal and the upscale at the start rather than at the end of the production. So I'm currently, what I've done is I've got the original scanned material and I'm putting this through this AI software, and you can see there it's going to take approximately 4 days for it to finish. And what I'll do is I'll reintegrate this footage back into my cut edit with the new shots, and then hopefully I'll be able to grade those back. So it's a bit of a backward step, but it makes the picture look so much better. So hopefully this will be the last hiccup on the journey to get this remastered, hopefully.
A very special thank you to Jeff Smart for allowing us to show all that wonderful Anderson goodness. Now, you can join us in just a week's time next Sunday night when Jeff will be watching a very special episode of UFO Time Lash as part of the randomizer with me and Chris Dale.
Five, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's get started. Let's go!
Spectrum is green.